for the opportunity to tell you about my journey thus far, and my prayer is that you not only see God's goodness displayed in it, but understand that He is just as good and available to you in your journey as well. I bookend my journey between Genesis 1, 9 to 11, when God came looking for His image bearers after the fall and asked, "Where are you and who told you?" And Matthew 16, 13 to 19, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am, and who do you say I am?" You see, my journey of discovering God and His goodness has been from as far back as I can remember when I reflect on my life's journey over the last 46 years. I feel as though I vacillate between these scriptures almost daily as I counter how the world wants to define me and who I am as a child of the Most High God. Over the last 3.5 years, it seems as though He has been keeping me under His wings as He restored and filled me with His wisdom. It's been a season of joy, learning, rest, and pain in the stretching of my faith. He's given me a nagging hope of what is yet to come. You know that feeling you get as you anticipate holding your newborn for the first time in between labor pains? Yeah, that. That is where I am at this moment. A little about myself. I am the middle of 3 girls, born and raised in Monrovia, Liberia, to Christian parents. I was christened as a baby, attended church and Sunday school on Sundays, became an acolyte around 9, and I think we did morning devotions during the week too. My parents were both successful entrepreneurs, and that afforded us a life that allowed us many luxuries that included private education and vacations to Europe, Asia, and the U.S., Although my parents got divorced when I was 10, we were still well provided for as my mom became a single parent. My mom encouraged us to keep a relationship with our dad even when they weren't on the best of terms or it was awkward with his new family. My older sister and I were sent to boarding school in England when I turned 10, and although I was sad to be away from home at that age, I was happy for a new beginning. While in England, I attended the local Anglican church, got confirmed, and had chapel every weekday morning prior to class. It was a season of new experiences with the exposure to languages, cultures, activities, and people. It was an international boarding school for girls. Then the summer I turned 15, my earthly foundation was rocked, and the trajectory of my life drastically altered. The Liberian Civil War kicked into full gear with the fall of Monrovia. My mom had sent my sisters and I to her sister in Roswell, Georgia, for what she thought was a summer break and had planned to join us, but sadly did not make it out prior to the airport's closing. With the phone lines down, we had no communication with her or my dad throughout the summer. By mid-August, plans were made to enroll us in the local schools and thus began my life as an immigrant in the U.S. We found out in late September that my mom had been killed. She was my current age, 46 years old. Dr. Charles Stanley of First Baptist Church of Atlanta was our pastor, and he provided counseling for us the day we were given the news. Even in such trauma, God was gracious. He allowed a teacher of His word to be our spiritual leader for that particular time. We even had Andy and Sandy Stanley as our youth leaders at the time, and they were a blessing in that season too. I left Georgia after high school and moved to Virginia for college and have been in the DMV since. He has stretched me throughout the years, and I questioned Him many times, but have always tried to remain within a community of believers at all times. It always brought comfort to me to be in worship with other believers whenever I couldn't make sense of what was going on around me. I've been an Episcopalian, Anglican, Methodist, and Baptist in various seasons of my life, and they were all right for the time. It's as though the Holy Spirit stirs me when I need to move. You see, I had faithful and prayerful grandmothers who raised my faithful and prayerful parents. Like all of us, they were broken and flawed, but trusted God to use them even in their brokenness. They introduced us to God from birth and kept us in His house religiously, some pun intended with the use of that word, because I now see that many actions were not from the heart, but rather the head and hands. We were in church, but we were not always allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way. At every turn in my life, when the world around me tried to define me through tragedies, setbacks, poor choices, he was there to counter it with his truth. And I put the 17 attributes of God up there for you as well as I show you his hand in my life. Like when I was molested frequently between the ages of 7 and 9 and felt the weight of shame and secrecy for years after. He physically removed me from being accessible to my abusers through my parents' divorce and schooling abroad. He didn't allow it to change or harden my heart to him. Or when I lost my mom suddenly at age 15 in a foreign land with family I barely knew, he provided for our physical, mental, and spiritual needs to be met. To allow us to be in a home where his word was actively pursued and fellowship within the body of Christ was the norm, was his grace on display. Even in his patience toward me, as I grow in my understanding of who he is, I am in awe. I struggle with his ways a lot, but know that I don't have all the information to think I know better than him. It took years to build a new and probably better relationship with my dad. But as I grew in my faith, I knew obedience to his word was not optional. So I honored my father, and he allowed us to share his love through forgiveness. Or when I stubbornly held on to a relationship for over 10 years that clearly wasn't what he had planned for me, he graciously and patiently allowed his wisdom to break that stronghold over my heart at his appointed time. Then he blessed me with who he knew I needed to walk alongside on the road ahead. My husband is a precious gift from a loving father. I know this because there is no other way to explain the familiarity and comfort we felt with each other when we met after only 5 days of speaking on the phone. He pretty much proposed on our first date on the 6th day. And 14 years later, we still actually like each other and enjoy uncovering God in his word together. Through miscarriages, pregnancies, and births, Lawrence has displayed true faith anchored in Christ. The night the twins were born, fear overtook me when my precious skyrocketed and I had to get a magnesium infusion to prevent seizures. As I was frantically pleading with God to allow me the opportunity to raise my children myself, Lawrence reminded me of who he had already shown himself to be in our lives. It allowed me to shift my focus away from my fears and over to the goodness and faithfulness of our Abba Father. Because of my childhood experiences and life after my mother's death, I have been intentional as a mother in how I reveal my understanding of who God is to me, to my children. Lawrence and I both want them to know God for themselves as early in life as possible so that they can truly enjoy his goodness for them here on earth. We don't want them to see that the world only sells, we want them to know that the world only sells emptiness outside of God's word and design, and that they can be in the world, but not of it. I want them to see themselves as salmon swimming against the world's current to reach the Heavenly Father. As toddlers, it was pretty smooth sailing because we didn't have to counter their experiences outside the home on a daily basis because we provided the inputs. But our prayers for grace and wisdom have multiplied each year as they have engaged more and more with the world around outside of our direct care. The Holy Spirit has to remind me frequently that it is not in my strength or resources that they have grown to this point, and that I can continue to trust God to mold them into who they too are to be for his glory. I was so grateful when we found Cherry Dale and their children's ministry to walk this journey with. I remember being prayed for in the hallway after dropping the twins off to nursery, screaming. At the end of the prayer, she said, "They will be fine, and you are a good mother." Wow, that was God responding to my internal doubts in that very moment. They turned the corner shortly after that and have not looked back since. At 3 in Awana, they learned that sin was anything that you say, do, or think that disobeys God, and it is never okay to disobey God. Wow, again, such strong foundational teachings provided through this body of believers to build upon. In September 2018, I was surprised when I was laid off from a company that I had been with for about 15 years. Once the initial surprise wore off, I was excited to take time off to rest. I remember colleagues telling me to consider it a blessing in disguise, and me responding that it wasn't even in disguise. God was protecting and providing for me in that moment. I was so exhausted from juggling three kids, work that involved all international locations, which meant multiple time zones outside of traditional U.S. work hours, meals, doctor visits, activities, running a home, grocery shopping, and doing it all with Lawrence constantly traveling. I didn't feel as though I was living a life that was pleasing to God, but I was doing what I felt was expected of me, a college educated, professional, working mom building a career. God removed the decision out of my hands with the layoff. In the last 3.5 years, I've enjoyed participating in the women's retreat at Skycroft Conference Center, women's Bible study, Awana Kids Club, and volunteering when needed. I've attended other faith-based conferences and Bible studies that fed my soul, read some novels, watched way too many Hallmark and Up TV movies, enjoyed being home to hear all about the day when they got off the bus. Although virtual school was fun and a challenge last year, I was reassured that I am not called to homeschool my three kids. So in late August, and every morning since, we pray with them and drop them off to school. I know many of you have that gift of teaching and make it look possible for me, but I really don't see it in my future at this time. We'll gladly pray for you all too. 2 years ago, when I was feeling the weight of motherhood and the upcoming lack of godly women fellowship with women Bible study ending and summer approaching, he brought my sisters in Christ to walk with me through that leg of the journey with a summer book club reading of the book Risen Motherhood. He knew just what I needed to restore my soul. I got to walk alongside other women in about the same season of life over that summer. It was refreshing. This summer, he prepared me to walk my husband and family through the final months and days of my mother-in-law's life through women's Bible study, 2 separate book clubs, and multiple new friendships. We read Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Marg Frogup, and It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, Finding Unexpected Strength When Disappointments Leave You Shattered by Liza Terkerse. I highly recommend both be added to your book list. So remember, when trials roll in and you feel as though you don't have what it takes to make it through, or you question his timing, just trust Colossians 3:10 that you are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator, and that he will be exactly what you need him to be for you at that point, because he is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I love that. That was, I mean, it's a hard story, but so, just beautiful and beautifully said. Thank you for sharing your heart with us, and you're welcome back. Any Friday, please come. We'd love to have you stick around with us. She wrote out for us some questions to ponder. We have